I don't know if I should be offended that Jim said we should stand up and stretch before our sermon, and then he chose to lead verse 4, anywhere with Jesus I can go to sleep. Whatever it is you need to do, I promise it is okay. So if you sleep today, I'm not offended. Now, please don't pull out a pillow. I might be slightly offended. If that's how you need to be with Jesus today, then God bless you in that. That would be wonderful. We're continuing on in our sermon series as we talk about this story, as we've been digging deeply into this story of Jesus meeting his disciples out on the water. And so we've got this week and then another 2 weeks as we're going to be looking at this story together and reminding ourselves, what does it mean to trust Jesus during difficult times when times seem insane and crazy and out of our control? And so we're continuing that this week. And really, we're continuing on with our discussion from last week as we looked at what does this mean in our lives. So we'll get a little bit more of that in just a few minutes. The popular definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Now, we have a couple of psychologists in our room, and they would tell us that is not the proper definition of insanity. Okay, so please don't go out there and say, I know what insanity is. All right, they would be right. But it is kind of crazy for us to think that we can keep doing the same old things, the same old way, time after time, and expect something to change or something to be different than it already is. There's this idea called systems theory that argues that everything we participate in our lives is a system, okay? A family unit, a company, a club, or a team, anything that is made up of two or more people or parts. And so this could be kind of a family unit of just a husband and wife together, or this could be as large as a company like Amazon, right? Everything is a system. All of the parts are interdependent and interrelated. We all kind of move together and do things together. And a system then is perfectly designed for whatever results it is getting. Think about that. A system is perfectly designed for whatever results it's getting. So if your company isn't producing a profit in this day and age, and whatever it is that you do, well, then somewhere along the way, your system is designed to underachieve. A family never seems to sit down together and spend any time together or communicate about life, and everyone seems pulled in 1,000 different directions. Well, then it is perfectly designed by our actions and our activities for the results that we're getting. Your car makes a weird grinding noise every time that it changes gears. Okay, something in that system is a little bit wonky. Now, we have the complete, total understanding of my mechanical knowledge right there in that phrase. Something's wonky, right? I'll call somebody else. But alternatively, if our family seems to be humming along and things seem to be going pretty well and everybody seems to be communicating, whether or not we're totally getting along, but we're able to talk through our differences, then that system seems to be designed for some health. Or your civic organization is accomplishing its goals easily and effortlessly. It is designed by terms of leadership and organization and assignment of responsibilities for the results that you are getting. Every system is perfectly designed to get what it's getting. And if you want to change your system, you have to change something about the way that it relates and interacts with its other parts. But that's difficult because change requires change. That seems silly to say, right? But change requires change. Something's got to be different, and change is difficult. And if our system already seems perfectly designed for the results that it's getting, even if we don't always like those results, that at least makes us comfortable because we know it. But we can't keep doing the same old things, expecting different results. Something's got to give. In 2008, teenage twins Alex and Brett Harris wrote a book, and that book is called Do Hard Things, A Teenage Rebellion Against Low Expectations. I love that title, A Teenage Rebellion Against Low Expectations, because now you know the entire gist of the book. Teens and millennials are often written off as being lazy and self-focused and self-absorbed and always looking to take the easy way out. I have seen a meme passed around on Facebook this week about a millennial in a job interview. Has anyone seen this meme? It's essentially making fun of everything they think millennials are about. Okay. And the Harris twins say, we don't agree with how you think about us. And in order to combat others' low expectations of who we are and what we can do, then let's go out and be people who do hard things. And they challenge their readers to do whatever it is they come up with in their mind that seems difficult to them, that might make a difference in the world around them. And so they say, hey, wake up early and see what kind of a difference that makes in your life. And in your work, in your relationship with your parents, and getting your schoolwork done, whatever it is. Do a chore without being asked. Babysit for a single mom at your church. Work on raising your GPA just a little bit this semester. And then you can do other hard things, all the way up to holding a bake sale or a car wash and raising money for a cause that you care about, something like stopping human trafficking or drilling a well or providing books to those that can't afford them. You could start a Christian group at your school, even though that might not be the cool thing to do, to talk about your faith. Or you can share your faith with a friend, which is one of the scariest things many of us can ever do. Or whatever it was that they could imagine, because only their imagination was the limit. Well, that and any desire they had to stay comfortable or be complacent or do easy things simply because they were easier. But the argument of their book is the same. We can't keep doing the same old things, expecting different results. Some things gotta change. Recently, I was talking with a friend who wanted to lose some weight. And they can't run a full mile without feeling winded. Let me take that back. They can't walk a full mile without feeling winded and forget about even trying to run. And they said, isn't there just an easier way to do this, to get in shape? And as we were talking, I lovingly said, no, there really isn't. Right? You have those belts that can kind of jiggle you. You have that little platform that will wiggle you back and forth maybe. But those really don't actually do much of anything. If you want the reward, you have to put in the work. Something has got to change. Or we want to be better parents and help shape our kids for what is right and what's wrong, but sometimes it just seems easier not to argue and let the kids dictate the things that they're going to do when they want to do them. And so no boundaries, no rules, no limits, no no's. And that is easier. But that's not parenting, that's neglect. Or we say we want a better relationship with God, but really the only time that we connect with God is the hour and 15 minutes that we spend on Sunday mornings in church, and maybe sometimes half-heartedly praying over a meal, but praying really quickly because it smells too good and we just have to get through it, right? And then we get frustrated if we just don't feel it on Sunday mornings. If the songs were off, I'm not saying they were. Or the prayers were stale, and I'm not saying they were. Or that guy who stands up there and talks just keeps on droning on and on and on, right? Or if I've been at a church where they complained the communion crackers were too stale that Sunday morning. You see, we say we want to grow closer to God and we want a deeper faith, but sometimes we just aren't willing to put in the work throughout the week to actually spend time in God's presence. And systems are perfectly designed for the results that they're getting. And it is crazy to think that we can keep doing the same old thing over and over again, expecting different results. And so last week, I challenged you to think about what it would look like in your life to get out of the boat. In this story, we have two different groups of people. We have the disciples who are in the boat and straining against the oars. And we have Peter who does this weird, crazy, audacious thing and says, Jesus, if that's you, let me come out there to you. And we said, isn't it amazing how much Peter fails, both in life and in this task, right? He walks on water. He takes his eyes off of Jesus. He starts to sink. Things don't go well. And we think about him being a failure. But really, the failure of the day was not getting out of the boat at all. About saying where we are is good enough because out there is too unknown and too scary. And so the real failure that day was those who didn't try. And last week we talked about what would it look like for you to get out of the boat? What is your boat? What is the thing that's keeping you comfortable or complacent, and it's keeping you from doing the things that God would want you to do in your life? And what would it look like for you to maybe step out of that boat and get your feet just a little bit wet? To actually start focusing on that area of your life that you think God wants some sort of change in. And so mine this week is one that scares me. My goal is to start sharing my faith more. Now, that seems silly for somebody standing on stage and talking, right? But honestly, the vast majority of people I interact with in a given week are you guys, and sometimes to my neighbors. And I talk about my faith 40-ish hours a week here and with people like you, and I don't really want to go home and make my neighbors feel uncomfortable in talking about my faith and asking how things are going. And so I don't. I just don't. I had a waitress at the coffee shop I go to last week ask me what about the Bible I was reading, and she'd never really read it for herself, and so she had grown up in X, but she doesn't really know what she thinks, and she'd love to hear just a little bit more. And I didn't say a thing. Nothing. Which is what reminded me that my boat is I like people to like me. And I don't like to be uncomfortable. And while I believe it, and I think there's life in it, and I was a missionary and talked about my faith all the time, and I've helped bring I don't know how many people to Jesus, it is still inherently uncomfortable for me to do it time and time again, because every time feels awkward and weird and like I have to share part of who I am. And so my boat this week is I like to be liked, and getting out of my boat means I'm going to have to share my faith in ways that aren't weird, all right? Although sometimes they're just weird, all right? Because I think that's what Jesus wants me to do. And I don't know what that is for you. You can steal mine if you need to, if that's really real for you. And I haven't done a good job of getting out of my boat this week. But I want you to look at your own boat today. What is it that keeps you complacent in some area of your life? What might it take for you to confess that and start looking for something different, some way to get out of your boat? But if I'm being honest, most of us won't do that. Because it's easier to stay with what we know than it is to look for some sort of change. And so here we have the disciples in the midst of the storm. The waves are pounding. The surf is crashing. The winds are howling. That salty sea is spraying up in their faces. Those sails are just flapping back and forth. And Jesus comes striding across the sea. And then they begin to hear him speak. And the disciples are still more comfortable there than out there with Jesus. Because sometimes the status quo seems preferable in our minds to getting our feet wet. Sometimes it is easier to stay put than it is to step out on faith. Until we sense enough discomfort in where we are. Until we reach the level where our desire for something different outweighs our desire to keep things the same. Until we just grow so dissatisfied with the status quo that something somewhere has to give. Until our desire for different results outweighs our reluctance to do hard things, then nothing will ever change. Everything will stay the same, and we'll keep on getting what we've been getting in our lives and our families and our endeavors and our faith until we're willing to call our boats what they are, to say and to claim what's been holding us back and step out in faith with a willingness to do something else that's not the easy way out. Until we do that, we'll keep on getting what we're getting. But here's the thing. Jesus was never one to stay in the boat. And God doesn't care about what makes us comfortable. And God calls people to do hard things. God calls people to step out on faith. God calls people to get their feet wet in order to be with Jesus, to meet him where he is. You see, Paul said he isn't far from each one of us, but that doesn't mean that he's right here in our boat. God loves us where we are, but God loves us too much to let us stay where we are. God doesn't care what makes us comfortable. God wants to make us faithful. God doesn't care about our complacency. God wants us to be courageous. If God was fine with the status quo, then we would all still be dead in our sins. But God is in the business of doing hard things. And God does hard things so that people can come to know him more fully. And I want us to think about that in our own personal lives. But I also want us to think about that as a congregation this morning. I would like for us to think about our church. And let me say, I love us. I'm here. I've been here 6 years, and I love you guys, warts and all. And you love me, I hope, warts and all. Okay. But what are our boats as a church? And what might it mean for us to walk on water? When I ask people here at WestU what they would like to see different, I usually get the same two responses. I would like for us to grow numerically. And that's beautiful. And they usually have a number in mind as to what that means. Okay, and they throw it out there and we listen to it. But I would like for us to grow numerically. And I would like for us to reach more young people and for them to become part of our congregation. And those are beautiful desires. But I want us to consider for just a minute. God wants us to pass on our faith from one generation to the next. And God doesn't change in the good news about who Jesus is and what he has done about offering love and salvation and grace to all people is still good news in the 21st century like it was in the first century. But time also doesn't stand still. And new issues arise, and the questions and concerns and theological quandaries that younger generations have today are not even ones I would have dreamed of whenever I was, well, I am still part of the younger generation, but whenever I was a kid. Things are different than they were in the past, and we have to be willing to meet young people where they are and listen to the issues that they face and look for how God can connect his truth, his good news, to a new generation. And so if we want to help new generations better come to know Jesus, then we have to meet them where they are and speak to the questions of their hearts. And we have to allow their questions and their desires and their dreams to help shape our congregation moving forward. And then the other thing about those beautiful desires that we have is that they're incredibly focused on what takes place here in our building. And I love our church. But oftentimes it then comes into conversations about providing more programs and more events so that people can come here and be with us. But the people are out there. And each year, fewer and fewer people are comfortable with walking into a church building because they didn't ever grow up walking into a church building. And it's a weird place to come if you're not churchy. And churches are places where Christians, for the most part, are comfortable. We know the songs. We know the expectations, we know the routines, and that's not true for those who weren't raised in it. And so I want us to think for a moment, what would it look like for us to meet people where they are rather than expecting them to meet us here? You see, I believe that really we have just two callings in our lives. There are just two callings in our lives: to be followers of Jesus more fully each day, so that we recognize Jesus' authority in our own lives. So we have two callings: to be followers of Jesus more and more each day, and then to help other people become followers of Jesus too. And often the things that help us be better followers of Jesus are things that make us uncomfortable. There are things like confessing sins and creating community and seeking accountability and serving others and loving those who are difficult to love and sharing our faith, our hope, and our life with other people. But guys, I believe we can do hard things, seemingly impossible things, because Jesus is in it. So what if? I want us to just do some dreaming this morning together. What if you were real with the people in your life that matter to you? Your family, your friends, your loved ones, your life group. What if you actually talked about your joys and your struggles? You actually shared life together. Or what if you just tried to craft 5 to 10 minutes a day that you could spend with God in prayer and reading, devotional and silence, even though it seems at times like a waste of time? But what might be different if you just gave God another 5 to 10 minutes? What if you volunteered to teach one of our children's classes so you can pass on faith to a new generation, that you could give long-term volunteers a break? Or what if you went to Jay and asked him, how can I bless the youth group sometime this summer? What if you started praying for the teachers here at Footsteps, or the students at the Point Ministry, or the chaplains who are visiting people through Lifeline and the Texas Medical Center? What if you started asking about the lives of the people around you, getting to know a neighbor or a coworker you've seen for years, but really for the first time? What if you hosted a block party to build relationships with people who live around you because you don't know them, even though you've lived there for quite a while? What if you started praying for the people in your life who don't know Jesus, that they might come to know Jesus? And then we actually start thinking and believing that God would respond to those prayers, and that maybe he would use us to respond to those prayers. So what if we thought outside of the box and outside of the boat about how we could be better followers of Jesus and help others become followers of Jesus? So I want to do that together this morning. I've asked a couple of our teens if they would pass out some strips of paper. You're going to get 2 different colors of paper. One is yellow and one is blue. But I want us to dream together this morning. What are the ways in which you would like for our church to get its feet wet? What are some ways you would like to see us get out of the boat and get a little uncomfortable in ministering to others? And really, I'm just going to ask that in terms of 2 questions. What could help us be better followers of Jesus as a congregation? That's the yellow paper. Okay, whatever that is that you think, you are welcome to write that down. What could help us be better followers of Jesus as a congregation? And then the blue piece of paper, what could we do to help others become followers of Jesus? And here, guys, the imagination is the limit. I want us to think less about necessarily more programming and more about ways in which our church can think about blessing the neighborhood around us or blessing one another. But it's your dream. And I want you to write down your dream and place it, and there's going to be 2 boxes on the credenza as you leave, and they look like this. Well, thanks, Susan, because they make me want to be in the tropics, right? This is very on the water. Okay, there are two of those outside. Please write them down and place them in it. And if you would like some time to pray about it, if you don't want to fill this out today, that's okay. If you want to think and pray and consider, then you can log on to our website later this week. We're going to have a form up that you can go to, just let's talk. That didn't fit very well. It's let's talk. And we're going to have that up and running by Monday afternoon. I hope. I'm not the computer guru in the place. So by 2 o'clock today, look at that. Okay. So if God responds to you faster, then you feel free to log on by 2 o'clock. I gave him work to do today. I don't know if he likes that or not. Okay, I want you to think about it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to write down the things that are on your hearts. What could help us be better followers of Jesus? And what could we do as a congregation to help others become followers of Jesus? And I have some things in my own head, but I don't want to give them to you because they're things in my head, and that might stop your imagination from growing. And Beverly is now rolling her eyes at me. Good job. All right. Because I think she would like me to give her hints. And the hint is, whatever you can imagine, because God can do hard things. I want to pray about that as they continue to hand those out. And then we're going to kind of wrap up our sermon. If they're still handing them out while we wrap up our sermon, that's even better, right? Let me pray for us. Go ahead and keep handing it out. I think God's okay with that. Dear God, we pray that we can dream big dreams, that we can imagine what it means to get out of the boat for your glory so that others can come to know you. Father, we pray that you will help us to know, help us to discern the ways in which you are calling us to meet you out there. We praise you and we thank you. And I'm excited to see what we can do as a congregation to become better followers of yours and to help others become followers of yours too. We pray in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. A couple of things for us to remember as we do this. First, God is already at work in our lives and in the lives of others, in our congregation and in the community around us long before we get there, because Jesus is out on the waves. Jesus walks on water, and he allows us to join him in what he is already doing. And the second thing then is that we can practice some discernment in this. I love how Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And this isn't a statement of lack of faith. It's a statement of discernment. Lord, I want to be where you are doing the things that you're doing. Are you in this? Because if you're not, I don't want to be out there. But if you are, I want to be where you are. And that's the statement I want us to ask as a church. Is it our desire or is it God's desire in these dreams we have that we think God wants us to do? Guys, we can do hard things. We can discover the ways God wants us to be better followers and make more followers of Jesus. We can dream of ways in which we can use what we're already doing to be a greater blessing to our community. And we can reach new people with good news. We can bless others in the name of Jesus. We can share life and faith with those around us because of what Jesus has already done for us. We can do hard things because I believe that the church is meant to be out on the water, meeting Jesus where he is and walking on waves. I don't know what it looks like for you to be uncomfortable. Maybe it's just hearing the sermon. That could be okay too. Maybe it's saying there is something in my life that's been holding me back. There's a sin, an addiction, a habit that you're engaged in, some sort of hurt you've experienced in the past that is keeping you from becoming what God wants you to be. And so we're going to offer a time in which you can come and have that prayed over, and you can be as specific as you want to be or as generalized as you want to be. And that is okay. If there's a way in which we can bless you, or if you say, I don't want to do that in front of the church, that seems scary, that's okay too. Okay, grab somebody and say, I need you to pray over whatever it is in my life. And that can just be, I need you to pray over my life. I'll do that for you this morning. Maybe getting out of the boat says, I want to be where Jesus is and I want him in my life. And we would love to introduce you to Jesus, help you know more about him, and give your life to him in faith and in baptism. And we would love to bless you in that way this morning so that you can be where Jesus is and Jesus can be at work in you. If it's just you need somebody to rejoice with you or to mourn with you, to pray over you, we're going to offer this time of public invitation. You're welcome to respond. You're welcome to respond privately where you are, or grab somebody and just ask them to be a blessing to you this morning. But if you'd love to respond publicly, we'll do that. Now, let's sing together.